Wizard of Whiskey presents Swig and Ramble, a podcast for the modern age. Come for the whiskey, stay for the shit show. Introducing Justin Currie at Wizard of Whiskey, Julia Men at the Wee Tipple. And now, pour yourself a drink and enjoy the show. I know I will.
Welcome to season motherfucking four. That's right. They tried to shut us down and put us in Russian prison. But instead, we're coming to you from a secret bunker on the Craft Beverage Expo showroom floor in Reno, Nevada.
Wow, Justin, get over yourself.
Well, I mean,
what are you doing here?
I had another pun, but you had me remove it.
Yeah,
so
it's bad.
Well,
you're welcome, Ramblers. It was really bad.
Rude, and it was fine. We're doing some shows live. We very seldom get a chance to hang out with each other
in person.
And I gotta tell you,
fucking awful.
Julia is an awful roommate.
Yeah,
and it's pretty rough. We actually look like we're sports commentators here on the showroom floor.
Showroom floor. Everyone's in a session in a different hall, and there's pretty much no one here.
Yeah, honestly, this is a pretty badass expo. But yeah, it's like. It's looking like the craft barrel team is going to attack the applications teams. It's pretty fun. It's pretty wild out here. Things get crazy at conferences. For those of you who go to conferences, you know how crazy shit gets. Marriages fall apart. All kinds of craziness. Oh, yeah. It's pretty rough.
Jeez.
Pretty rough all around.
It's just been hopefully a fun time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be real good.
And my feet in the what do you call that thing? Hot tub yesterday. Met some people. Talked to people.
Did some drinking.
Not much, but did a little bit of drinking.
But
waited forever for dinner.
Oh God.
Hashtag Atlantis Casino needs to get its shit together.
Sick burn. But also there are gonna be some reviews coming.
So many reviews. It's gonna be huge.
Yeah. I mean, I don't try to be a keyboard warrior, but also things just need to get called out.
I don't know what a keyboard warrior is, but I'm assuming it's some techie thing where you're constantly writing on Yelp. If you are one of those keyboard warriors, why don't you head over to swigandramble.com, like our page, use your fingers for some good. Oh, that sounded weird.
Sir? The fuck? It is too early.
It is way too early for that. But back to the fingering. So let's jump right in.
Hey, Justin. What is craft? What does that even mean?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I actually asked a computer. I asked our computer overlords what the meaning of craft was. And they said,
beep, beep, boop. Are you a robot?
Yep. I'm a robot. You just see I'm doing the robot arm and everything. They said, and again, this is our computer overlords, everyone.
Take it with a grain of salt.
Craft beverage typically refers to a drink that is produced by smaller independent producers using traditional or artisanal methods. This term is often associated with beverages such as craft beer, craft cider, craft spirits, like whiskey or gin, craft wine, craft mead, and craft sodas.
Can you tell an AI wrote this?
That got me. The craft sodas is what fucked me up. Craft beverages are often distinguished by their focus on quality, creativity, and unique flavors, as well as a dedication to using high-quality ingredients and production techniques. Craft beverage movement has grown in response to a desire for authenticity, millennials, flavor diversity, everybody else, and supporting local businesses, the youth of America. Thank you very much.
People ought to support local businesses.
100%. Also, the dictionary was fucking useless. So there we are.
Didn't it just kind of pause out and just died when you asked it?
It kind of did. The dictionary is like, we don't understand what you're saying. Please ask AI. So we fucking did that.
Because we don't necessarily trust or, you know, it's AI. Who knows? But we're going to be going around asking people here at the Craft Beverage Expo what the fuck craft means to them.
And honestly, feel free to jump in and answer this question yourself. Send us a message. Put us on Twitter. You know, DM in the slide in the DMs, whatever you want to call it.
Ew.
Not like that. I don't know why your mind's so dirty.
It's early.
That is not a reason for a mind to be dirty. That's just the time of day. So yeah, we're gonna hear what some people have to say about craft.
What's your definition of craft?
So my definition of craft, it's something that it's made with care, in not always small scale, because it could be. It's just when people really care about the product that they're doing, and that quality goes before everything else. And it's unique. That's where I think it's good.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Worked out well.
So, craft, craft means to us, I guess I should say craft is the reason why we're called Barnstormer Distillery. So Barnstormer Distillery, if you're not sure what a Barnstormer is, it is a pilot that flew between World War I and World War II on the Curtiss Jenny. The Curtiss Jenny is the reason why we fly the big airplanes that we do today. So a Barnstormer for us really embodies craft. And it's kind of what Tim does behind the distillery doors. And I'll let you talk.
Yeah, we take a little bit different approach than most distilleries. For our size, most distilleries will put out maybe 4 products. We currently have 17 SKUs, all of which, most of which come and go. Because everything we do, even our mash bills, are really dictated more by where we get our ingredients, because we get our grain from our neighbors. So depending upon what year it is and what's available, we had one year where rye was terrible in Illinois. So we made corn whiskey that year. We had this year rye in abundance, so we've made 95% rye. And we've got a few that are stable across the board, but most of our stuff truly is, every batch is different.
Which I think highlights craft distilling and the craft industry in itself. We, you know, when you talk about collaboration and how you work with other businesses and small businesses and local businesses, we work very, very close with our farmer that's right down the street. She's a 5-minute drive away. Whatever she's got going on in her fields and whatever she's harvesting, those are the mash bills that Tim is producing. In turn, what he's producing is what I'm selling in the bar, and we're really able to enhance and collaboratively produce something that is hyper local. So not only is it local coming out of the ground 5 minutes away from us, but it's distilled right on site.
Can I give you both? All right. Well, now that we've heard from several industry experts, you haven't heard from us yet. You know what we didn't do sitting here is we didn't talk about what's in our glass or what sours our mash. What sours, Julia? What sours your mash?
God, fucking travel these days?
Mm.
Okay, I know COVID fucked a lot of shit up. Also, I think maybe I'm just old. What? Like, holy shit, it took not even very long to me. I think the longest was, 5 or 6 hour flights to get here to Reno. And I'm like, destroyed. And it's awful. And like, because the last couple of times I've flown, it has been post-COVID. I didn't necessarily wear a mask. And then I got ragingly ill. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I wore a mask this time the entire way. And I just felt awful. So wear a mask, don't wear a mask. You're going to be miserable anyway. We'll see how sick I get. But fuck, man, getting old sucks. Okay, maybe this is a getting old rant because my body hurts. Traveling sucks. Time changes suck. Altitude changes. I'm just, okay, I'm going to have a fucking drink. That really set me off real fast, Justin.
What is in your glass?
I got a bottle of Maroki Pinot Noir, which is actually from Nelson, New Zealand, outside. It's northwest of Marlborough. So a little bit more complexity. I wouldn't say it's as great as Martinborough or Central Otago, but it is a much richer, more decadent expression compared to what comes out of the Marlborough region. You got kind of that earthy funk underlying everything. You definitely get that olive, that wet vegetation. But then, oh, the palate just bursts with all sorts of beautiful layers. You got gentle red fruits, you got delicate spices, you do have that underlying earthiness and that richness. Very lovely Pinot Noir, I am very happy to be sipping on and not thinking about shitty travel days. Justin, what's going on with you? What are you drinking and what sour is your mash these days?
I'm going to start with what is in my glass. I am drinking what I would consider to be a craft beverage. Many would
Ooh.
not. This is something I picked up at the airport. Speaking of travel, good old Heathrow.
Hey.
Travelers exclusive, as they say. It's a Mortlach 14 year.
Oh shit.
Sherry
Okay.
cask finish.
Fuck.
I went ahead and I went bold. Don't judge. I put it on ice. It
Hey.
is phenomenal. It is huge. First of all, I'm a huge Scotch fan, as everybody knows. This is just a phenomenal whiskey. And why I consider it craft is that it is a small batch. The whiskey in this glass is from its own batch, it's from its own thing, it's from its own barrel, whatever you want to call it. It can be defined and probably should be defined as craft, as in this episode and subsequent articles, papers, books, possibly TV appearances on Oprah. We will explain the new and probably forever definition of craft. What sours my mash? We're not a political show, but
Justin wants it to be. He's been fighting hard for 4 seasons to make it political.
well, because anyone who goes back and says, oh, I'm not into politics, and then turns around and realizes that politics ruin your everyday life. Do you know how many women I now know who said, oh, I'm not that into politics, who no longer have the right to divorce their husbands in some states, who
Who can't
cannot get an abortion in
oh.
states?
You might not even be able to get birth control the fuck anymore. Don't
The
even start me.
Supreme Court recently shot down a decision. I forget the name of the drug, but basically, they protected it in a very, very, very thin definition, basically saying that the people who brought the lawsuit have no standing. So the lawsuit itself, they didn't mind, but within the legal definition, they just don't think that the people who brought the lawsuit actually have standing to go forward with the lawsuit. So anyone else could potentially bring the lawsuit, bring it right back up to the Supreme Court. And yes, birth control could be outlawed in this country. But that's not the point. My point is this. What sours my mash is people going around saying, I'm not into politics. Or going around saying, I'm not going to vote for Biden. But I'm not going to vote at all, or I'm going to vote, throw away my vote on Mickey Mouse, or I'm going to write in a third party. I do
Please
have a
vote.
pitch.
Please vote. Our hashtag, please vote.
Don't just vote. I have no love for some current Biden policies.
You
However,
don't.
until we rock the entire system and change everything about it, we're going to be stuck with pretty much choosing two white men for pretty much eternity until things seriously change. Those men are probably going to be in their geriatric lifetime.
Oh, God.
Voting isn't the answer. Voting isn't the end. Voting is just the beginning. Yes, you have to vote for people. You may not love everything they stand for. You vote for them. And then you hold them accountable.
Yes.
voting is not the end solution. Voting is not the only thing that you have to do as a citizen. You have to get involved. You have to write letters. You have to campaign. You have to get involved. By the way, it's sad, but this is going to be a message throughout season four, because we have a very important election coming up in just a few months. And if you don't vote, don't follow us.
It's like, come on, take a page from the Europeans. When bullshit policies are brought forward that are going to be detrimental, maybe not even in what Americans would see as a very life-changing way, but it's a change Europeans don't fucking like. Oh, they strike the fuck and they get those changes aborted, like just changed. No, like not. Nah. Yeah, anyway, that's, I am depressed about the state of America. I haven't for a very long time. Unfortunately, I don't see it changing. One of the reasons I would love to move, but while we're here, and not everyone has the option of leaving. Most people don't.
99% don't.
Yeah, like, please get involved. Make your voice heard, because your voice actually matters. You probably don't think it does. I didn't for the longest fucking time until some of my friends enlightened me to that fact, because they are very politically conscious and they are very out there go-getting, making calls, sending emails, sending postcards, especially about voting time. And it does matter. It does. I can't convince you, but it does. So please believe in yourself, believe in your own personal power and the power of people just like you. You can make a difference. Please do what you can.
As a man, I know my voice has mattered since the beginning. So anyway, let's
jump around here. Some of us don't have it that easy, but we have it now. So let's fucking use it. Also,
let's get off the soapbox. Let's jump into back. Let's jump back into What Is Craft for those six people still listening. Three people, let's be honest.
We lost everyone.
We lost everyone. And honestly, I think one of those people is probably only listening with one of their stupid AirPod things in one ear. So I'm not even getting all of the ears.
It's probably a woman jogging and it's safer for her to have only one earbud in. Let's be honest.
That is something that I had no fucking clue about until my wife had to explain to me. What I'm like, why the fuck would somebody do that? I go out and I don't give a fuck what's going on around me. It could be a nuclear holocaust. As long as I have my cigar, my headphones, and, you know, I've got my jams in, I don't give a rat's ass. But apparently, okay. Another time, another episode, another conversation.
Tangents upon tangents. Welcome to season four.
Stop derailing us. Let the man talk, Julia. There you go. Now we're down to one listener. All right. And it's my mom.
Hey.
So we went around, we asked a bunch of people, what is craft, obviously. But our team has actually been working on this for quite a few years. As some of you know, we have a small co-op, a small small business where we publish some papers. Long story short, we've dusted it off because it needed to be modernized. We wrote it back in May of 2019, or published it back in May of 2019. We've been working on it probably for about a year. It brought up an interesting story, kind of tangential to the craft movement. I got into an argument at the time I didn't know who this person was, nor did I care, and I still don't care, if I'm being honest, at the museum in Chicago, one of the museums in Chicago. It was the modern art wing, and anyone who's met me knows I cannot stand modern art because it's just splotches on canvas.
Uncultured swine.
It's just literally this dude drew circles and shit. Like, come on, that is not.
I mean, okay, to be honest, I have thought very much the same. Like, well, shit, I could just go throw paint on a canvas and call it art.
Yeah. So anyway. Him and I got into a discussion over something that he was fixing on the wall, and it got me thinking about what craft is, what art is, and then what craft is, which is why I chose Mortlach. Mortlach is obviously not a small American craft beverage company. we've had many discussions with people about things like Tito's and how Tito's has been thrown out of the craft world because they're very large and da-da-da, and they, you know, they were sued because people didn't understand the concept of handmade, whatever. Craft is truly in the eye of the beholder. So let's start there with that.
Yeah, if that wasn't obvious from all of the different people we have asked about what is craft, you notice they all had completely different answers.
Yeah. Yeah, it's frustrating when you hear, even at like a craft convention, like you hear 4, 5, 10 different, you know, responses to one question. And that's because craft is still subjective enough to be defined in very broad terms.
Yeah, it is not legally defined by any country, state, or national entity. Craft is not legally defined.
Oh, that's a very good point. Yeah, craft means nothing in the legal sense, at least for now. The federal government designates craft technically by production levels, and that's really just for tax purposes. Let's be clear. The federal government, the TTB, even your local ABCs, do not give a unmitigated flying fuck about the producer, about the production, about where it's from, about what
about the story, the history.
Any single goddamn thing. They care about one thing, and that is the taxable gallons.
Yep, 100%.
Since we wrote the paper years ago, there have been some changes. The Craft Modernization Act has gone through several iterations. What they're trying to do is get something called parity, because the wine industry is seen as different than the beer industry, is seen as different than the spirits industry and the cider industry. Many states treat cider, brandy, and wine as the same, whereas other spirits, they're taxed much higher. Beer is its own behemoth because it has quite a bit of lobbying behind it. And then you have other small products, things like RTDs, which were very heavily taxed, ready to drinks. It's weird because if it's a seltzer or if it's this or if it's that, it's taxed differently. So again, the legal definition of craft does not exist. There is a taxable definition that is all governments care about, is the taxable definition, which is why a lot of lobbying groups spend most of their time trying to change tax parity. That's honestly what some of their largest objectives are, is to change tax parity. So if you belong to one of these groups and your, you know, association isn't hammering your, you know, your state or your area on tax parity, then they're not doing a good job. So
what I have come to understand or embrace, craft, God, I hate to say this. Oh, I was about to slap myself for saying it. Craft is a vibe.
I'm sorry, did you just fucking say a vibe?
Oh God, I'm such an aging millennial. This is so bad.
All right, and I think that's a great place to end the episode, because she just said something was a vibe.
And Julia is fired. Justin is running the show solo from now on, and everyone's happier.
Great.
No, but it definitely comes down to, it evokes much more of a feeling. It's not necessarily something you can measure and weigh. I mean, yes, the government, they can measure and weigh gallons of alcohol outputs and ABV, and they can tax the fuck out of it because that is what the governments do. But as you heard, listening to all of these folks talk about craft, it is much more... it's hands-on. It gives a sense of place. It's hearkening back to their terroir or the region. It's very small batch. Everything is made by these couple of people, maybe. And even if they do have some automation, like a bottling line, maybe there are like five people working at that company. So they have their hands in everything. They take great care. It's very small production numbers. So yeah, it's not necessarily easily definable, but it's much more of a feeling, or yes, dare I say, a fucking vibe.
All right, so getting off that hippy dippy kale drinking weed smoking bullshit.
Hey, that's what we do
vibe
here.
Vibe.
Later in the season, folks. Get real hippy dippy.
Yep. Everyone, it's funny because everyone defines craft differently. We put out a survey some years ago when we were doing this paper, and some people said, we asked, what does craft mean? And we will be sending this out again, by the way. 48% said artistic and small batch.
Also, small batch, not legally defined.
Again, yep. 14% said only a certain number of bottles made. I feel like that's small batch. 7% said no more than 10,000 bottles made. That's a certain number of bottles, so those two go together. Anything that can be craft if someone dreams it. Ugh, that goes back to the vibe bullshit. That's 18.5% said that. And 11% said a small farm where everything is done by hand. By the way, very little of this is done by hand, just FYI. So it's interesting. This was a consumer survey. This was, you know, enthusiast consumers, listeners of this podcast, people who follow Joya and I, you know, on our influencer pages and all the other stuff. So there really isn't a lot of actual true definition. So I think the point of all of this is to say craft is an ever-evolving thing. I'm drinking what I consider to be a craft scotch. Is it a multi-billion dollar company owned by another conglomerate multi-billion dollar company? Yeah, it is, motherfucker. But...
Hey. Which, again, someone else who's not Justin might automatically discount that because it is owned by a massive global conglomerate. But I think we are learning in this season 4, episode 1 opener, craft is whatever the fuck you want to make it.
We are
and
going
also,
to... Go ahead, Joanne. You and
yeah.
Your pod.
Also... A lot of things can start out as craft and then they gain traction. People fucking love it. They love to support it. They're like, this is fucking great. And then the big dogs take notice and they're like, oh yeah, we want to add a nice brand that has a good following to our portfolio. We have the means to take it to a much larger level, which honestly, a ton of brands fucking want. They want to be successful. So maybe they would start out as craft and then they could grow to such an extreme, maybe get bought out, maybe be industrialized to a different level after the buyout, that it wouldn't necessarily be craft anymore. That's also something that happens quite regularly, especially these days. There's only so much money small time producers can put behind their products. So if a bigger company comes along saying, we want to buy you out for however many millions of dollars. Who the fuck wouldn't say hell yeah to that? But then, of course, potentially the quality could go down. Maybe it doesn't. Oftentimes it does. So it's just an ever-evolving conversation that I think is really quite interesting.
It is. It's a quite interesting conversation, and it's the same people who are complaining about, quote-unquote, the American dream. Who are out there bitching about these craft producers selling out. Isn't that part of the American dream to work hard at something, create something, and turn around and make a fuck ton of money off of it?
Sell it for a fuckload. That is exactly the American dream. And honestly, that's probably the only American dream that is potentially feasible. Like, you cannot have one job worked by one person, have a stay-at-home spouse, 2.5 kids, a white picket fence, a house, two cars, and the family dog. You can't do that on one fucking salary these days. That's a whole other conversation for another time. But going back, yes, it's great to see people work really hard, pour their heart and soul, sweat, tears, passion into creating their product. And then, hey, they can sell it. Good on them. They can retire, or they can go on to start new things, new, smaller, more craft projects. Because now they have a fuck ton more money.
Ooh, yeah, excuse me. What craft is essentially the American dream, I think, is our point. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Yeah, craft. The American dream. I like that.
Yeah.
I think that's what this episode is going to be called.
Done.
Yes.
Well, I feel like that's all we have time for today. We will be having more discussions on craft. We've got a killer season coming up. We do talk to sex workers. We do talk to bourbon experts. We're talking to a lot of people this season.
We talk about THC. We talk about corks. We talk about all sorts of like different interesting things that we have not touched upon yet in the first three seasons. So very exciting. Stay tuned. Please don't leave us.
In fact, bring your friends. Because if you want to learn about craft, bourbon, sex work, and all this other shit, and be lectured to and talked down to about voting, Swig and Ramble is the place to listen between now and November.
Yeah, you came to the right place, kittens.
Yeah.
I mean, ramblers, whatever. All that jazz. Whatever. I'm still getting back to it.
All of the things. And we're going to call you all a bunch of crazy names this season. Just go with it.
And you're going to take it because you love us, God damn it.
Exactly. So, who do we have up next, Julia? What are we doing next? Are we talking bourbon? I feel like we're talking bourbon.
Yeah, I think we are going to talk to a bourbon expert, a fellow with, I'm not one to say ages, but he has a goodly amount of experience under his belt. Let's just leave it at that. A wise gent of the world. It's going to be fantastic. If you don't already, follow us on our socials, the Instagrams, the Facebook. Justin maybe still has the Twitters going on because
I do have the Twitters going on.
Makes one of us.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll start an OnlyFans. Who knows?
Send us things. You know, send us questions, send us comments. Do not send us nudes.
No. Maybe like dram pics or your favorite wine bottle, but nothing else. We don't want to see that.
Yeah, don't nobody want to see that.
No, maybe your partner does. Hopefully your partner does.
Let's hope so. You know, so yeah, yeah, follow us, do all of the things. We are rambling a little bit this episode. I think Reno has defeated us.
It's hot and it's gross and it's itchy. I'm so fucking itchy already. And I've been here for a hot like 12 hours. I don't know what it is about the desert. Fuck this weather. It's the worst. I will take 150% humidity all day, every day. Fuck the desert.
In Reno's defense, you're from Connecticut.
I am not from Connecticut. I live in Connecticut.
Wisconsin. Whatever. Wisconsin. All right, kids, go do your thing and make sure to join us next time where we talk about those dickheads who think Diageo is craft.
Oh, cringe.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Download almost anywhere. Join our Facebook group and follow us at Swig and Ramble on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and Twitter for more fermented fuckery. Cheers.